Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It is truly a blessing to be on tonight and, you know, to be in a position to even talk and walk and to celebrate certain things. And we're definitely appreciative of this past holiday, Mother's Day, in which we celebrated our mothers. Some celebrated the daughters, the wives, the girlfriends, or whatnot, you know, for their thankless job of being a mother. And I'm excited because of my mom and my daughter, you know, just haven't really celebrated her like I would have loved to or thought I should have years ago. But, you know, this year, I decided to just do something different because she's done such an exceptional job with my grandsons, you know, that I wanted to show her how much I appreciate her. But anyway, you know, thank you for tuning in tonight. My name is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and, you know, I'm grateful today. I've been quiet today for a number of reasons. But just want to be grateful and thankful for the things that God has done and that he is doing. So to you all that are tuning in tonight, I want to get started with a word of prayer. If you could just pray with your brother, turn off your televisions or whatnot if you're driving or wherever you're sitting at. Just wanted to draw you in the prayer, if you could. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for every listening ear. Father, we thank you for the people that have tuned in and from far and from near. And Lord, we pray, God, that we say something tonight that will help your people, because these are your people, move forward. Or those that have moved forward, Father, just be able to establish a mark and territory that you have definitely shown them something that has changed their life. So, Father, you speak tonight, oh God. And, Father, we pray, God, that these words leave my mouth, oh God, they be yours, oh Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before I get started, you know, I want to be grateful unto the Lord for you that are listening in Mexico. I was sent a message today that there's a group of people in Mexico that are listening to this, and it's an honor. And so they are translating. And so that is wonderful. I definitely appreciate that. And my friends in Ghana, and, you know, thank you for listening in, as well as you all that are in Alaska, United States, and over Hawaii, and a group of people in Ireland. So I am grateful, and I appreciate God for you all for taking the opportunity and to hear me, you know, open my mouth and speak about something that God has given me to share with you all. So getting right into it, in the last couple of weeks, I've been hearing some things, and it has definitely stirred my spirit, and I wanted to be sure, and I didn't do anything last week because I wanted to be sure that it was God that was pulling me to speak on this particular topic, because it is something that is a major concern. And as I talk about this, you know, I think it should be something that we should all look at, you know. And I'm going to do something different tonight because I normally don't do this, but I'm going to do it tonight. I have one scripture that I'm going to read, and I'm not going to read it from the King James Version. I am going to read this from what is known as the NIV, and that is the New International Version. And so because I believe that this will sound similar to what I was hearing. For those that have your Bibles, you know, you can turn to Habakkuk chapter number 1, and some call it Habakkuk chapter number 1. And so my topic tonight is vision, but I'm going to approach some things in a manner, because for you all that are my age, or some may be younger, you know, but for those that are my age, there's one big question that is hitting your thoughts right now. But before I go into that question, let's read this. Can we? Habakkuk chapter number 1. You may have the King James Version or the Amplified. I'm reading from the NIV. And it says, the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. That's verse number 1. Verse number 2. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you don't save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abound. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, and then it says, so that justice is perverted. Here's the Lord's answer. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am arising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who swept across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. The herds advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified buildings, earthen ramps. They captured themselves. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty people whose own strength is their God. Habakkuk's second complaint. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, who will never die? You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why, when you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, the sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food? Is he to keep the emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? Now, this is 17 verses in the first chapter in the book of, some say Habakkuk and some say Habakkuk. Interesting, you heard Habakkuk complain. And God give one response to his first complaint. And I want you to go to chapter number 2. I'm going to stay in NIV. I want this to be clear. Because all of us have sat back and wondered when God was going to do something regarding the righteous. Now, and Rebecca goes through a number of things that he sees, and hold on, I'm going to get to our question. And so as he sees these things, he asks God, you know, because who would believe that God would use evil to punish his own people? Because surely God is not evil. Why would he use evil? Why would he use folks that don't love him? People that have a lot, but yet trying to take more. People that want to keep poor people poor and rich people rich. Why would God, the creator of all things that could see everything and that out of a blink of an eye can stop things, why would he allow all of these things to continue to happen? See, if I had read this in the King James Version, it would have felt far from you, right? But reading this in the NIV brings it closer to home. Because all of us have complaints, even in this very day. The things that I was really hearing in the last couple of weeks wasn't from a perspective of religious, where people would think, oh my God, how wilt thou, you know. No, it didn't come out that way. It was more like, why would you, Lord, why would you allow it? So let's read chapter number 2. I know it's interesting. I'm reading this from the NIV. Y'all have never heard me read from this, but I want to do it because I'm getting to something, because some of us have already read this from the King James Version. But the NIV says this, chapter number 2, verse number 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. The Lord's answer to him, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, waits for it, will certainly come and will not delay. Right? So I want to stop there, and I want to give you a topic. This is nothing profound, but I'm going in a different direction with this. And if you just indulge me for the next 45 minutes, I want to take you to a place. My topic tonight is very interesting, and so if I could, I want to preface it, you know, by saying, you know, this is about vision, right? But my topic tonight is retirement. My topic tonight is retirement. Now I'm gonna. I need to bring you to where vision, and this speaks of vision, and this talks about retirement, and I want to bring the two together. We are born into this world, be it whether you are black, white, Hispanic, Asian, European, South American, you know, North American, you're born into this life, and you have no choice of who your family is or the wealth or the disenfranchisement of the people that you're born into. It is difficult for a child to come in thinking that they are born into a place where is plenty when they grow up suffering and don't have a lot. It's difficult for a child that is born in plenty to have the understanding of the child that doesn't have, because as a child, we don't have an indoctrinated thought process. We just are children. We love everybody. We play with everybody. And we don't really get our indoctrination until we grow up and we begin to understand language. We begin to understand the situations that we're in based upon the interpretation of the people that are raising us up. And so if you were born in my neighborhood in Rome, Georgia, you know, in the mid-60s, my father was a what they call a forklift driver, but it was the name for the device was a heister, and he was working for a carpet company. And so in Northwest Georgia, carpet is a big thing. Matter of fact, Northwest Georgia, a city named Dalton, Georgia, is known as the carpet capital of the world. And so there were these multiple manufacturing locations or plants in which people were employed. And so my father began his employment driving a heister, but learning how to drive a truck. My mom and dad did not graduate from high school. My dad dropped out of high school to go to work so he could help take care of his siblings. And my mom dropped out of high school because my mom and dad got married when they were young. Now, keeping that in mind, they worked for a number of years, but retirement was not something that they could see in a vision because of the time that they were in. They only watched people work until they could not work anymore. Their limbs would not allow them, and they would be broken or bodies would be torn and worn. And so retirement wasn't something that they saw. They saw work until you die. Man, I hope y'all get what I'm saying here tonight. And so in seeing this now, it became prevalent that they had to teach us the roadmap in which we could work and take care of ourselves or our families, but we had to look for something bigger and greater because we didn't want to work your body till it couldn't work any longer until you die, but there had to be something different waiting for you on the other side of working 20 or 30 years. And the word that was given to them was retirement. And so the consequent word or the word conjunctually used with retirement was pension. And back in that day, companies had pension plans. And so it was to assist a person after they had worked a number of years with finances along with what we call now Social Security. I'm getting to all these questions. And so now we educate ourselves, we navigate coming up in certain rural areas or the inner city. We make it out. Some of us work for the government. Some of us work for a company. And retirement has been there, but pension plans have gone away. Now we see people that are barely surviving off of Social Security. And the way the game has been set up is that you pay so much into Social Security that you would have it when you retire. Watch it now. And so the only thing that is difficult to envision is how Social Security is going to take care of you behind the word retirement.
because pension plans had went away. And so now they've introduced something in companies called 401k or deferred comp or retirement plan that you can take a portion of your present salary and that you make and put it off into an investment account. Watch this now. And that when you retire, you possibly, you watch the word possibly now, have something to assist you to live off of. And no one would ever think that during the time of the 70s that you would need more than $6,000 or $7,000 a month when you retire just to live. You know, so now all of these questions come in because it seems as though us in the church or people in the church have become so religious that we never looked at what would necessarily have to happen if we reached an age of retirement. Now watch it now, because retirement age has went from 55 to 60 to 65, 70, 72, and now it's talking about retirement being 75. So now, back in the early 60s, you were working till you're 70 years old to the bone till you couldn't work anymore. And now here we are in the year of 2022, and we've now gone back to you being 75 and having to work before you get to speak about the term retirement. So now, watch this now. Vision is so powerful that we act like Habakkuk in chapter 1, complaining about what we see happening that is wrong. And I will complain sometime amongst each other. Now we have something called social media and where our complaints are diverse, but actually mean the same. You know, I found out something very interesting in Social Security, and for those that don't make a certain amount of money, you don't see it, but you do see it. For instance, you know, it may sound crazy, but do you all know that there are people that are getting the max in Social Security on an annual basis? Watch it now, because most of the folks that were uneducated or worked and made $60,000-$70,000 a year, sounds like good money, you know, and your Social Security has maxed out with your earnings, not the max payment, but it has maxed out with your earnings. Because if you're making over six figures a year, your Social Security goes up into a maximum in earnings, right, of $5,500. And I, if I read it correctly, in the next couple of years, if you make over six figures, then there's a possibility that when you reach 62 or 65, or when you can pull your benefit that you have paid into the system, will pay you roughly $6,400-$6,500 a month. But you don't see that because where your earnings is. Because if you're making $27 an hour, you're looking at putting 6% of that money that you make per hour before they tax it into a 401k plan with the hope, right, that someone, now watch these words I use now, with the hope that the company will match it and not remove the match, that you can accumulate enough money if, watch the word if you remain working with this particular company for a long period of time. Now, longevity with companies, depending upon the company, has left in this time and season with people. Now, I'm getting that. Watch the question now. Watch this question. Am I ready to retire? Watch this now. I want you to listen to this question. Are you ready? How? And now, some of you may be listening to this and you're shaking your head that I retired from my previous company because I gave them 25 years. But out of that 25 years, I worked for them from my age of 25 to 50, but I still have to go to work. Because what I could possibly get from this company is still not going to sustain me because the cost of living still goes up. Lord, watch my complaint now. How do I make it? And you have these wicked people that are making more money, the backs of other folks that are padding their retirement right now. As you listen to this now, I want you to go back, because if you put time into a company and you go to work for these companies, you are sinking in some retrospect because you have a 401k, and some people brag about, oh, I have $500,000 in my 401k, like that's something. But it ain't nothing, because when you get ready to pull that money out at the age of retirement, it's going to be hit with almost 40% of taxes. So even if you had $1 million sitting in that account, you only really have $600,000 if you use a 401k plan, right? But now look at this now. You don't see that as a problem, because the only vision that has been given to you is that if I work for this company and stay there long enough, if they have a retirement vehicle, an investment vehicle that deals with my retirement, the only vision is if I remain there long enough, that money is going to be there. That's the picture they're framing. And you don't really start to be concerned about this. Y'all folks are 20 years old, 30 years old. Y'all have no idea. You don't really get concerned about this until you start reaching the age of 45 to 50. And after you've given this company all your time, your years, for those that have done it, some of us have it. We leverage and we go to another company, we make more money, then there's more money I can put back. But we don't do that, because the more money we make, we get taxed, because we don't understand how taxes are. The more money we make, we buy bigger and better things, and we don't live off a certain amount of the income. We don't put money back. And so then we get to the age of 50, watch it now, 55, and say, oh, Lord, what's going on? I work myself to the bone, and in retirement, I'm supposed to be enjoying the better part of my life. But I find myself, I have to continue to work. Even though they think they got the system beat and they have all this money in this 401k plan, don't realize that money is not taxed. What is matched from your company is not taxed. If they're matching you dollar for dollar and you put, $300,000 in there and they put $300,000 in there, that's $600,000, but you're only going to get a small portion of that. That's crazy. To know that almost as inflation goes up, you're losing money that you have sitting in what is called a retirement vehicle, a 401k, and now you start sounding like a Becca, because The only person that can fix this in your mind is God. Because if God will step in and do something for those that are possibly thinking about switching the job or going into a new job or just getting the job after 2 years of COVID and companies are shut down, people were laid off, and now the younger workforce is working not to stay with a company, but they're jumping from company to company. But it's not costing these companies much money as it's costing those in their 40s and their 50s and those that are fighting to go to work that are in their 60s because they have to work now because Social Security will not take care of them unto the presence of the Lord. Lord, what are you going to do about this? Why are they winning and I love you and I'm losing? That's an interesting argument, and an argument that in the time that we looked and we saw things is very valid, because that argument is not a black argument. It's not a white argument. It's a mindset. Because even when Habakkuk brought this argument to God, he was complaining about the wicked. And why, God, are you letting them prosper? Why are they prospering? And I'm a giver for those that like to use their tongue. Why is the wicked prospering? What is it about these people, God, that you are allowing them to do all of this? And here I am, I'm getting older. And it doesn't look promising for me to reach that threshold. It looks like, God, I'm going to work into my 70s. And if I work to 75, if my body breaks down, how am I going to enjoy the rest of my life? You know, I'm in an interesting place because I'm eating more healthier than I have, and so a lot of fried foods and things of that nature have been really kind of removed from my diet. I'm grateful for that and for the people that God has put in my life, not throwing names out there, that has really frowned at me when I'm wanting some fried chicken or wanting some more sugar in the tea, and so I had started to see my ankles swell at one point, and I decided I wasn't going to drink coffee. I was going to, kind of lean back on some things and drink a whole lot of water. And it caused me to urinate a lot, but, my ankles stopped swelling. And so I can see that I have to make adjustments. I'll watch it now. I have to make adjustments because I'm not as active, but I need to get active because I don't have the excuse that my hips are not where they used to be because I've had hip surgery. I had a double hip surgery. And so for those that knew me prior to the hip surgery, you knew that I was walking with a cane and it was painful. But I can get around, I can move, I can do. And so God has blessed me in that manner. So there's still some things that I have to do. Watch it now. I cannot sit back and complain to God and not be willing to do something. Habakkuk was smart enough that in his complaint, from a NIV perspective, he knows that he has to now sit because he has complained. But he knows in his complaint, God has an answer. But I don't believe that he expected God's answer to be what it was. Neither are you going to expect my answer to your complaining to be the same thing. Because if living your life now, based upon how things were historically and how fought to be where you are, or the failing you had, or the mistakes, or the bumps and bruises, bad relationships, bad financial decisions, thinking you know and you don't know. We all been there. Trust me. There's no one listening, whether you're sitting in Mexico, in Ghana, in Alaska, in the U.S. If the phrase retirement, if you worked, has really become something that seems far off from you. And if you're in Mexico, if you're working, you don't know what retirement is because you know, what is that in Africa? What is retirement? You know, it's only us people in the U.S. that start thinking that we think about retirement at a certain age because everyone else is used to working through those situations. And so they would love to make the money that we made, even though we look at it as not being that much, but they could take that we make and do see family with it. But there's an interesting thing here that really, as I heard people call me and complain about 401k, as they complained about some other things in life. A young man, you know, told me the other day, and I listened to him. He said, you know, he called me and said, every time I talk to you or say something to you, you're talking about business. He said, do you ever talk about anything else, you know? And I said, every time you call me, you tell me what you don't have. You don't have enough money. You can't travel the way you want to. And because you're putting money in the 401k plan, you have the money is tight. So what you're telling me is while you're working for someone, you're not getting ahead. And the thing the reason why I talk to you about business is because I'm giving you the opportunity to change your conversation with me. Because if the only thing that you talk to me about is what you don't have or how you're struggling, my answer, you may not like it, is not to go get another job. My answer is not to leave the job that you're on. My answer is create something that is going to work when you sleep. And that's when you start retiring. It's when you do something, and I'm working on that. Trust me now. I'm working on the fact that to do something that will work in my sleep. And that's when I retire. I retire from being concerned about 401k money. I retire from being concerned about pension. Because my retirement started when I figured out the blueprint. That's when my retirement starts, when I figure out the blueprint. God didn't give the answer to Rebecca for the things that he was complaining about. What he told Rebecca, you see all of this stuff that you're complaining about? Write it down. Not the issues, but the answer is right at your fingertips, and it's called vision. We were given the vision to work for years and to retire. We were given the vision that if we get a better education, we'll be able to make more money and we can retire. What I discovered blew my mind. And I just want to share that with you for those that are listening, because it's important. Because you called, your numbers are up, and I can see that you're listening. What I discovered was that every business person, and I'm a preference person, because it's not a man thing or a woman thing. Every business person that has decided to put a plan together and make this business work, retired at that point. Because retirement to them was something different. They wasn't looking for Social Security. Watch it now, even though they pay into it each year at a maximum rate. Even though they pay into it, and it's called a self-employment tax. because they have to pay what you would pay out of your check, and they pay what the employer would pay because they have to match what you pay. So they're actually paying the two payments in one, and it's called self-employment tax. And so when the government sees that, you are at your maximum threshold in earnings. You know, I've seen somebody's annual earnings because I'm in payroll and I manage the payroll team, and a CEO makes $2.6 million a year, paid $280,000 into Social Security and Medicare, paid over $486,000 into federal taxes, did not blink one bit. When you own what you do and you can create a process that will serve the needs of all the people that need it, you have just retired from thinking about enjoying your life. Because now you have a vision beyond you. And I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. When we are born, you know, most of us, we were born into poverty situations, but we didn't know we were poor because our parents worked their butt off, you know. But some folks did know that, and they struggle with that. But yet you're at the position to where vision now is supposed to outlive you. So if you retire now because of a vision that God has given you, and you can write, now in the NIV version it says the revelation. That means that whatever God has revealed you, let's not make it churchy, okay? Can we not do that? A revelation can be something that God revealed to you about an answer to a problem, but you now have to trust what God has shown you to put a plan together to fix the problems that these people are having. Then you retire. And it's at that point that you retire. It's at that point in your life that vision now has retired you. And even though you went to God complaining, God gave you an answer. But that answer is at your fingertips. That's where the answer is. It's a legitimate complaint that you have. And I don't want to make vision churchy. It is just because I have a gift and it's an apostleship or prophet or an evangelist, pastor, preacher. You know, God blesses me to operate in all those gifts. But those are just governmental gifts. They are not all the gifts. Powerful gift that I have seen God work to me is to be the servant. And so grabbing a hold of that, really grasping a hold of the fact that God gave me something that answers problems. He's trying to get me to step away from thinking about retirement. Some of us, we're working ourselves to the bone just to put an additional $5,000 or $6,000 into a retirement fund to leave one job to go and work another. That's what we're doing, and some of us are definitely struggling just to think about what's going to happen in the next 5 or 6 years. Notice that years ago it was manual labor. Technology has come in and has taken a lot of the manual labor away. Let's not forget that prior to COVID, we had folks that had master's degrees that were working under what they should be paid. But even with that degree, they were hoping to be above or close to the six-figure income, and that didn't happen. And so they're in that fight.
they're in that struggle. Isn't that different? Isn't that kind of suspect to the things that you would even think could happen? Think about that. Because we're only doing what we were shown, but I want to give you a new vision. You know, I want you to right now, I'm giving homework assignments right now. I'm giving, I don't care what country you're in, I'm giving homework assignments. And in this particular homework assignment, I want on one side write down the things you see that are wrong. Yeah, seriously, write down the things that you see that are wrong on one side or on one sheet of paper. On that sheet of paper, I want you to write down all the issues and problems you see going on in your life, going on around you, going on in your country, in your city, with businesses. And on the other side, I want you to write the plan. Find one of those things in there that God has stirred your heart about to go into and to fix those things. Write that plan down. Because that plan didn't come from you. It's a revelation. That means God has revealed something to you outside of the 21st century present day church stuff. It's in your everyday practical living. Habakkuk's complaint came from everyday practical living. It didn't come from any place else. So, dear hearts, my challenge to you tonight in homework, I don't want to silence your complaints because your complaints are valid and they are real. What I want to do is get you to write those complaints down on one side. Pick one or two of those. And they may, you know, conjunctly, you know, be an issue themselves together. And you may have one thing that will fix that. And I want you to write down what you think and come up with a plan and a process. Work through the gaps on that process of what was failed. And you're about to retire. Because the truth of the matter is, your best retirement plan is your business. It's going, your business is a vision or the revelation that God has given you. And you have to trust what God is doing. God didn't mean for us to suffer, to be poor, or none of that. Even though the poor people was always poor in heart and the poor in spirit. Wasn't his plan for us to be that way. But we have the greatest opportunity to change that. We do, you and I. If you're looking for another job, I don't want to tell you to stop looking. But write down the things that within the area that you're looking, the place that you're looking, or within your profession. Because if you've been doing it for many years, then you know that problem. You know what the issues are. Write those down. Write that full list of what those issues are. And on the other side, write down what you believe the fix is. Someone may ask, well, how would I know that someone will take what my answer is? Well, the only way you will know that is that you write it down and work through the gap. If you don't write it down, somebody else will. And they're going to run away with the revelation that God gave you. And you can complain all day long. You didn't write the vision. You didn't make it plain. Dear hearts, I'm grateful the fact that God blessed me to speak with you tonight. You know, It's a trying time. It's difficult moments. Some of us are in places in life that we did not intend to be. We didn't expect to be where we are. We probably thought we'd be in better places, and some of us believe we're in a better place as far as life is concerned, but we ran into some challenges. I don't know what your story is. Don't know. But I do know that for every complaint you have, God has an answer. But he's going to use you to figure out what that answer is. He's going to walk with you through the process. You just have to trust him and believe. What's interesting about tonight is going to carry over to next week because you have a homework assignment. You know, and as much as you complain, I don't want to cut down someone complaining. I think it's important to complain because you see a problem. You see an issue. And God didn't fix it because he wanted you to engage it. He wanted you to do something. He's not going to fix it. He's going to work with you to get it fixed. Thank you all as we go into a word of prayer to close this night. You know, I want you to, again, be cognizant of your complaints because they are valid. Write them down. And on the other side, write down the answer. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. God, I appreciate you. Father, you're wonderful. Lord, I pray that whatever I've given others to think about in respect to retirement and why these things are concerning us, is that you haven't given a blueprint to everybody regarding that you've given one to us. And if we see it, we're no different from Rebecca. We're complaining. We know that. And I believe that as we go through this, Father, you're going to be with us in the process. Bless you, O God, and the ears that were able to hear. We thank you, O God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, I'm going to give you back 7 minutes of your night. And pray that the Lord God uses you and walk with you through this process. Amen. God bless. Until next Tuesday, we will talk to you then.